Dearly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we have the opportunity to read it and study it, meditate upon it, to discuss it. Lord, just even this week, being able to talk about the things in your word with friends of mine. And Lord, your wisdom is so much greater than ours. You are infinite and we are finite. And that is, it is difficult for us to grasp some of the things that you say. And there's times that you even warn us, you don't know what I know. And so, Lord, we want to say, yes, we don't understand all of this. But, Lord, we trust you, the one who not only understands it, but the one who's in control over all of it. So, Lord, we come to you today and we humbly ask that you give us understanding. You help us as we take this journey today and we walk through this passage. And Lord, most of all, I pray that you are magnified today, that we make much of you. So Lord, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word, the preaching of your word, and the hearing of your word. It's in Jesus' name that I ask these things. And God's people said, amen. Would you please stand as we honor the reading of God's word? We're actually going to start in verse 1, and we're going to read all the way through verse 14. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head as he lay in his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel declared, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Then as I looked, its wings were plucked off and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And the mind of a man was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one like a bear. It was raised up on one side. It had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and it was told, arise, devour much flesh. After this, I looked and behold another like a leopard with four wings of a bird on its back. And the beast had four heads and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped on what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came among them another horn, a little one before which three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes and the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and his hair, and the hair on his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames. His wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came from out before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were open. I looked in because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking. And as I looked, the beast was killed and its body destroyed and given over to be burned with fire. As for the rest of the beast, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like the Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion was an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Would you please be seated? So I'm going to go quickly. We looked at the beast last week. These beasts, we're told later, and that was the dream. Later, we're told what these beasts were. They're kings or kingdoms. That's what they represent. I reminded you that even today, we use animals to represent nations. Again, when you think of the United States, you think of the American eagle, the bald eagle. When you think about Russia, the Russian bear. When you think about China, you think about the dragon. So it's not unusual to use beasts to represent nations or kingdoms. But these beasts, there's some descriptions given about them that we ought to look at. And one of them was that that they are limited and delegated power. That's what they have. They do have power, but it's limited or delegated. If you look at it over and over, what you'll see is they are given something or they're told to do something. They are powerful, but they are limited in their power. So what you'll see is the lion was given a heart of a man. It was made to stand up. The bear was told, you go devour more. The leopard was given dominion. So they're powerful, but they are controlled power. They have limited power. Well, you and I know that they're limited by God. He's the one who is ultimately in control. And we're going to get to that in a minute. I'm going to start preaching ahead of my sermon. I don't want to do that. But the other thing we're told is they're depraved, they're evil. Notice that these are a mixture of animals. And when God created the animals, you'll notice that he tells them that they are to procreate in their kind. But these animals, notice there's a lion with eagle's wings. There's a bear that's disfigured. One side is higher than the other. There's a leopard that has bird wings and four heads. And so they are depraved and they bring evil. These are evil creatures. Kingdoms, I don't care if you talk about past kingdoms, current kingdoms, or future kingdoms. They are evil. And I reminded you, yes, I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to be in the United States. And the United States has done some good things. But again, the example I used last week, yes, I'm glad that our country was part of stopping Hitler. Because Hitler was a bad man. But our country is going to answer one day for the fact that we kill millions of babies every year. We're going to answer for that. We're going to answer for the injustice that's done in our country. We're going to answer for the racism in our country. We're going to answer for the murders in our country. We're going to answer for millions and millions of things that we have done. Kingdoms are evil. Past kingdoms are evil. Current kingdoms are evil. Future kingdoms are evil in this age. And that's what he's trying to... It's never going to change in this age. I want to remind you, I was just having a discussion this week and someone asked me the question. They said, you know, you don't think that an atheist can do good things? I think atheists can help people. I think they can do good things. I'm not saying that. And countries can do good things. But we're all sinful people. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what God's word says. Every single one of us. And even though we try to whitewash it and say, well, no one's perfect, what we're saying is we're all sinners. And the reason that these governments are evil is because they're run by evil people, by sinful people. So this will always be in this age. But the good news is, when it comes to these depraved, when it comes to these countries that have power that are they're evil, is they're temporary. I don't know if you see this, and this is where we kind of keep going from last week. They're temporary. You'll notice that one beast arises and then fades away, and then there's the next beast, and it fades away. Then there's the next beast, and it fades away. These are temporary kingdoms. Even the United States, it is going to be temporary. This country will not last. And if you think, oh, man, look at how long we've lasted. I mean, we've lasted 200. We're coming up on 243 years. The Roman Empire lasted double that, over 500 years. In many ways, we're still a very young country, but we're temporary. I want to keep moving forward, though. I don't want to dwell on that too long because I think that's very obvious. It's one beast after the next beast and then the next beast and then the next beast. So you see that they're temporary. They won't last. But notice when you get to verse 9, it said, as I looked, and all of a sudden there's something different here. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. And it begins to describe the Ancient of Days. If you hadn't figured this out, it's God our Father. The Ancient of Days. Before days even existed, the Ancient of Days was there. Amen? Amen? And here's the deal. He says, in the ancient days, took his seat. In other words, court is in session. Y'all all have seen either a courtroom drama or you've seen court TV or you've been in a court and you know what happens, man. When the judge walks in, everyone stands, and then when the judge sits down, business begins. The court is in session. And that's what happens here. And Daniel is given this unbelievable privilege that I'm not sure that we ever really think about in this passage. He is about to describe who he saw as God the Father. I mean, when you look back in in passages, and you begin to see who God is. And we're going to look at this right here, that God is all-powerful, he is righteous, and he's eternal. Everything that these beasts are not, that's who God is. So Daniel gets this privilege. When you look back at the Old Testament, for instance, and the second time that Moses goes up on the mountain and he's going to get the second set of tablets with the Ten Commandments, because you know he busted the first set. And he goes back up, and it says that God is there, and it talks about these attributes of God that are incredible. But he doesn't really get to describe God because there's so much smoke, he doesn't get to see him. And then many of you know the description in Isaiah chapter 6 where Isaiah is there and it says that his train of his robe fills the entire temple, but he doesn't really get to see God. But Daniel's given a vision here of what God looks like. God the Father, and he says this, and the hair on his head was like pure wool, and his clothing white as snow. And so he gets this incredible privilege to see who God is. And one of the things that you see immediately is that he is powerful. Look at the description there. His throne was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. The court that's there, it says 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. So he is powerful. He is served. He is attended to. God is all powerful. He is not limited like these beasts. He is all-powerful. But I want to keep moving because not only is he all-powerful, there's the vision of righteousness. This white wool and white as snow clothing, it is a description of purity. He's not depraved. There is no sin in God. He's completely different than us. But not only that, eternal. He's eternal. Daniel gives us a description of Ancient of Days. This is the only time in all of Scripture that God is called the Ancient of Days. He's eternal. And so, again, if you looked at the title, what you'll see is this great contrast between the kingdoms of this world and the coming kingdom of God. The coming kingdom that is going to get rid of all of this sin, all of this injustice, all of this will go away because God is coming. Because after he sees these visions that really startle him, if you go to verse 15, it says, "As for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious, and the visions of my head alarmed me." After he sees that, man, the Ancient of Days is coming to make things right. And it really disturbs me when I see injustice. Man, there are things that I want to do to correct it. And here's the disturbing part about it, is that I don't see it all. Man, there are things that I think that are unjust and really get me. You know, you will say, man, don't get me on my soapbox about that. Because we see this injustice and we want to speak out against it. We want to correct it. And many times we don't have the power to. We just gripe about it. So we get on our soapbox and we say our piece, but we really don't fix anything. But you know, it's interesting. We all have different soapboxes. You realize that? The things that disturb me may not really bother you that much. But then there are things that really bother you, and I'm going, not a big deal. But with God, all the injustice, every bit of it, he sees it, and he's coming back to correct it. He's coming back to fix that. So when you get this great contrast of who these beasts and the age that is right now, and you get this picture of God, notice that, again, I want to remind you that this great sea that these beasts come out of, that is a symbol of chaos and rebellion. But notice where you get all this chaos and rebellion and these deformed beasts, that violence is a part of what they are. Notice that when you get to verse 10, when it says, "A stream of fire issued and came out from before him, 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him." It is an orderly court that is in session. You know, I know we have an attorney here, but I have been in court to where I know that the judge doesn't like disorder. In the court, the judge wants order. Matter of fact, you've seen them. They hit that. They use their gavel and they'll say, order in the court. In other words, no disorder, orderly. And here you have this orderly court. And if you think it's not in session, notice it says, the court sat in judgment and the books were open. Court is in session. So you get this great contrast, and then we have to ask this question, but now what? What happens here? How does all this play out? And that's where I have to stand before you and say, we don't all agree on this. And when I say we don't all agree, there are theologians, very learned theologians, that look at these passages and they look at Revelation, and we try to mesh these things together and we try to give a view of what we believe the end times will look like. Daniel is given a vision. John is given a vision in Revelation. And again, try to think about when you've tried to explain a dream. It is difficult to convey that. And it's certainly difficult for the one who is hearing that to understand what you're doing. And that's what we're trying to do here. But I want to give you what I believe, how all of this plays out. Let me just say this. No matter which view or the path that you take on how the end times are going to happen, and I shared this with the praise team this morning, if you go, no, I don't think that really happens that way, I think it happens this way, the views all converge on one thing, and that is this. God wins. Did you get that? God wins. It's not going to be the kingdoms of this earth. It's not going to be, I don't care how powerful you think countries are, God wins. God is the one who will have the final say. So, let's start walking down this path. The power and dominion of the first three beasts have come and gone. I'm not going to address that anymore other than their power is gone. Whether they are still here or not, it appears to say in Daniel, it says, for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged. So they're not completely destroyed. These kingdoms are not completely destroyed, but they have no more power. So those are come and gone. But then you have the fourth beast. And what's interesting is Daniel, when he sees this fourth beast, it disturbs him so much that he keeps asking about it. He says, what about that one? What about that one? I will say this, that once again, you will see that even the fourth beast, as powerful as it is, and if you read the passage, you'll notice he gives us descriptions of the first three beasts. The first three beasts are a combination of eagle and lion and leopard and bear and all that. But the fourth beast, he doesn't give a description. He just says that its teeth were iron. And then whatever it didn't consume, it destroyed. It stomped on it and destroyed it anyway. It breaks it down. It breaks it into pieces. But even the fourth beast, its power is delegated by God. It tells us that it has 10 horns, and a lot of people go, well, what does that mean? A horn is a symbol of power. So this doesn't just have two horns, doesn't have three horns, it has 10 horns. It's a very powerful beast. We already know that. It's a very powerful beast. But three horns are subdued by one horn, and it seems to take more power. So, in other words, there are 10 kings, if you will. We're told in Scripture there are 10 kings, but three of those kings are removed or they are subdued by one king who kind of takes over everything. It's amazing. As soon as there was talk of the European Union, people were like, that's it. That's the beast with the 10 horns. Well, I'm not here to say what country is represented or what union. I'll just tell you that the European Union has 28 countries in it. So I don't know how you fit that in there, but some people have tried to work that out. It's not important for us to start saying, oh, that country's that beast and that country's that beast. Daniel's not told that. So anything that we do like that, we're speculating. But you have this one horn that subdues the three horns. But then we're told this, there is tribulation. And this horn, this kingdom, this beast, rages war against the saints. If you will go down to verse 21, it said, as I looked, again, he's seeing another scene. As I looked, this horn, this one that has the mouth, that has the eyes, that subdues these three kings, and now it raises up in power. As I look, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them. This is where there's some disagreement for sure, but I'm going to tell you where I land on this. When it gets to the end times, the saints, believers, we are going to go through a time of tribulation. I know there are some who would say, oh no, God loves us, and what he's going to do is he's going to rapture us. He's going to gather us out of this world before tribulation comes. I just don't see that here. Because when it says made war with the saints, that's talking about believers. That's talking about those who trust in Christ. But not only that, listen, it is only for a limited time. Again, this beast is no different. It's powerful. It's more powerful, and it is different than the other beast. But when it comes to being under God's authority, no different. When it comes to a limited time, no different. When it comes to depravity, no different. It is the same in all of those aspects. So it has delegated power. If you'll go to verse 25, it says, he shall speak words against the Most High. This is that horn that come forward. It has a mouth. He's speaking words against the Most High. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And shall think to change the times and the law. And they shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. Notice, and they shall be given. Again, it's delegated. God gives the saints over to his hand for a time. But it's limited. You'll notice that it says, for a time, times, and half a time. What does that mean? Well, I would read it based upon another passage that is a year, and then 2 years, and then 6 months, which comes out to be 42 months. So if you go to Revelation, and you can just write this down, Revelation 13, verse 5 through 8, it says this, and the beast was given a mouth. Notice again, it was given a mouth, uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed, again, delegated, it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation, and all who dwell on the earth will worship it. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain with the sword, with the sword must he be slain. Here is a call. This is what's important. Listen to this. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. I do believe that we will enter a time of tribulation where saints all over the world, not just in a particular part of the world, but all over the world, will be in danger. Some will die. Some will be taken into captivity. But listen. Hold on. Don't give up. This whole thing was written to tell you, hold on. Because I got some good news for you. The Ancient of Days is coming. For 3.5 years, it will not be a pleasant place to be. This earth will not be pleasant for Christians. Hold on. Don't give up. Because your God is coming to once again save us. We will not be spared from suffering. This beast is going to be allowed to kill some of us, to take some of us captive, but hold on, because he's coming. This isn't just, you know what, I'm going to wait for that for a minute. Some of you might be thinking, why are you telling us this? Do you think this is tomorrow? Do you think this is the next day? I don't know. I don't know when it's coming. I've heard it described like this, that a woman in labor doesn't exactly know when the baby is coming. but she's in labor. And same thing for us. I don't know that, and matter of fact, Scripture says that none of us know the exact day. But I'll tell you this. He's given this vision to Daniel, who is living 500 years before Christ was coming the first time. And he's given us this in his word because it's important. Because God is telling us, endure, hold on, don't give up. There's going to be a lot of evil coming, and some of you have experienced evil in your life, and you're going, I don't like this life anymore. I don't like what's going on. And you know what? I'm blaming God for it. I've heard that. Why would God do this to me? I've said those things. Why did God allow this? Why did God do this? And God's going, hold on. 10,000 reasons to bless his name. In the moment that you're going, I can't do this anymore. I don't know if I can hold on. I want your mind to go to, but there are 10,000 reasons. Even though I have this reason that I want to let go, there are 10,000 reasons to bless his name and say, but I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hold on. You know, I remember a rough patch where I was going, I don't know if I want to hold on. And God's going, are you kidding me? I've given you 3 healthy children. You're not hungry. You've got plenty of clothes. You've got a car. You've got friends. You've got a church. I mean, just list after list after list of things that God had done for me. And yet I was looking at one situation going, I don't know if I want to hold on. And if you think it's bad now, I'm telling you, the day is coming. And it may be in our lifetime, it may not. Where we are being told, hold on. Hold on. Again, think about Daniel. He lost Jerusalem. He's lost Nebuchadnezzar. He's at the end of Babylonian rule. Here's the drums of war going on. The Persians are about to come in. I'm sorry, the Medes, then the Persians. And I don't know, why, God? Why? I mean, what's the point of all this? And I believe that God is telling him, he's going, look, Daniel, I know there's all this change, and I know you see all this. But man, listen, I win. I got this. The Ancient of Days is coming. It tells us here that says, while the Antichrist, the counterfeit Christ, because you realize the reason that people are going to worship this Antichrist, the reason they're going to worship this beast, the reason they're going to do that is he's going to make promises to them and he's going to look like a savior. You realize that? Then the world is going to be deceived by this person, by this Antichrist. The world is going to think, this is a good guy. This is a good person. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. So while the Antichrist is making war with the saints, while this is happening, 42 months, man, this beast is having its way. Saints are dying. Saints are in captivity. It's having its way. And then guess what? The Ancient of Days shows up. Game over. And I love this because it says this. I looked then because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking. Blasphemous words. It sounds awesome. It sounds great. Man, he is making himself to be something wonderful, something mighty, something powerful. And you'll notice that we don't have half of a chapter of a 12-round fight between God and this beast. That's nothing there. It just simply says, and as I looked, the beast was killed. Done. No effort whatsoever. Matter of fact, it says this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill. How does he kill him? No sword needed or anything. With the breath of his mouth. Just the same way that God spoke everything into being, he can also speak it out of being. With the breath of his mouth. And I love this description. And bring to nothing. And brings it to nothing. By what? By the appearance of his coming. So when Christ shows up, when the Ancient of Days shows up, it's over. And it's not only that the Ancient One, the Ancient of Days is coming, our Savior's coming. Our Savior is coming. Man, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a Son of Man. That phrase ought to grab your attention right there. That phrase, the Son of Man, was Jesus' favorite phrase to describe himself, that he was the Son of Man. What's interesting, and here's Daniel telling you these descriptions of the Father. And you'll notice that he says he's got clothes white as snow and a beard. And yet there's something about Jesus that's more than just God appearing to be human. There's something more to that because he calls him the Son of Man. He sees both mankind and divinity in Jesus Christ. He sees that. And that's what's so, I mean, we see that he is more than man because he is given dominion and glory and he served and he's worshiped. When it says there that he is served, it says, and to him was given dominion and glory and kingdom and all the people and nations and languages should serve him. That Greek word there means they worshiped him. So he's more than man. He's fully God, fully man. Amen? But then what? What comes on? What's after that? The Ancient of Days comes. The Son of Man arrives. What happens after that? I mean, here's Jesus. He shows up. Here's God. He shows up. And really all we're told in this passage is in verse 27. I'm sorry, 26 and 27. But the court shall sit in judgment, and his dominion shall be taken away, talking about the beast, to be consumed and destroyed to the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. In other words, when God shows up, the kingdoms of this world, the beast, they're gone away. They have been destroyed. And guess who rules then? God does with the saints. With the saints. But what happens? What happens after that? Well, it doesn't tell us anything else in this passage. So for me to preach more than that would be for me to go to another passage and preach that. And that's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to preach this passage this morning. There's much more to be said. But I think what I want to convey to you is that when this time comes, everything changes. We are so used to, this is just our life. I mean, most of you, along with me, you're thinking Monday comes and I'll get up and I'll go to work. I'll do my job. I'll see my kids when I get home. They've been at school. I'll have something for dinner. And then Tuesday is a repeat. Wednesday is a repeat. Thursday is a repeat. And it's just life. But people, the day is coming where life as we know it is going to change forever. When these things begin to happen, and I'm trying to figure out, I've spent all week in prayer over this, how to explain, if you don't believe in Christ, hear me on this. Don't think for a minute that you'll go, you know what, Pastor, I'm kind of living my life. And when I see some of these things happen, I mean, I've heard what you said, and I see that 3.5-year period, and when things get really bad, and when I hear that the church is really under attack all over the world, then I'll know I need to make a decision then for Christ. You are being fooled today. Because when that time comes, I want to put two things before you. Number one, you are going to be deceived. You're not going to see that clearly. You're going to be tricked. Then everything's not happening the way it really is happening. And the second thing, you're not going to choose what you believe to be the losing team at that time. You get that. We're going to appear to the world that we are losing. There will be report after report after report how the church isn't relevant anymore. Do you not see that today? What's the point of church? And more of the people in this world are buying into that. We don't need that. We can do this on our own. I just read a story just yesterday where they're going, you want eternal life? We are figuring out how to take your soul and imprint it on a microchip so you can live forever. We laugh at that, and yet that's the stories. And guess what? I don't know exactly what they mean by that, but there's some weird stuff happening out there about how you can live eternally, and you don't need this. We can do it with technology. Do you not hear those stories? So I'm telling you this because when God returns, when the Ancient of Days returns, it's over. The books are open. He's not writing them in anymore. The names have already been written. So it's not like you go, oh, there's God. Now I'll trust Him. Those days are over. Court will be in session. Well, isn't everyone guilty? You said that everyone's guilty of sin. Yes, we're all guilty. But those of us who are believers, guess who's standing in my stead? Guess who's going to be in my place? Christ. So when guilt is said, well, look what Paul, man, look at what he has done with his life. And I am embarrassed and ashamed for you to ever know things that I've done in my life. But Jesus Christ still says, I love him. And by the way, he's innocent because my righteousness I give to him free. But for the unbeliever, you will stand and answer for your sin. And it's over. It's a great contrast of the depravity today and the order and the justice that will happen then. So my hope is twofold this morning. For my brothers and sisters, hold on. Do not be deceived. You will not live eternally without the Lord. You won't. You'll suffer eternally, but you will not live eternally. Do not be deceived. Hold on. There'll be times, and it won't even be the end of days, there'll be times when you think you're losing. I can't do it. The reason I know that is because I've been there. Hold on. Don't give up. I think Daniel probably felt that way. I think this vision is given to Daniel to encourage him. We're told that's why it's given to him. So they hold on. We already know the ending. God wins. I also want to tell you that even if you hear these things, especially those of you who are teenagers and you're going, that sounds scary. That, and even adults, I mean, this troubled Daniel, and even after he sees the Ancient of Days and he sees the power and majesty of God, even when he sees the Son of Man come on the clouds and he's told, man, this kingdom will reign forever and ever and ever. Look at the very last verse. Here's the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly alarmed me and my color changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. When you hear these sayings, it can be troubling because it's not going to be like it is now. And because of that, it does bring some anxiety to us. It makes us think, well, what's it going to be like? And I don't know if I want to go through that. And Daniel doesn't know if this is going to happen in his lifetime. It's okay if you have that anxiety, if you will. If you go, but that does trouble me some, Paul. It's okay. Trouble Daniel too. But God wins. God wins. So for the believer, let me just tell you, I want to encourage you, hold on. When your kids are rebelling against you and you're going, man, I have taken them to church and I've tried to teach them and I've tried to teach them and nothing seems to be going, hold on. Well, Paul, my spouse, I have tried, I have shared my faith, I have done everything, I have prayed, and it just doesn't seem like he's changing or she's changing. I've tried, and I'm about to give up. Hold on. Hold on. Don't give up. Paul Paul, it just seems like everything I touch just seems to fall apart. Everything, nothing seems to go my way. Hold on. Hold on. That's my encouragement to my brothers and my sisters. If you don't believe this morning, all of this, what I hope is that I'm pulling back the curtain for you to see the reality of what truly is. That God is the one in control of everything. And that He does win. That the end of days, as we know it, are coming. And you can't just say, well, I'll just wait till the end and I'll figure it out. Then I'll make the right decision. That's not the way it works. I wish I had time this morning. I'm out of time. I wish I had time to tell you what I think is happening after all of that and what I see in Scripture, but I don't have time. What I do have time for is this, for you to respond to God's Word. Let me ask you, believers, are you holding on? Are you at the end of your rope and you're going, I just don't know if I can do this. Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Because the Ancient of Days is coming. If you don't know the Lord, I want to invite you to respond. There is still time. He has not come yet. Paul, do you not see all the evil in this world? Why didn't He come in and fix everything? Why didn't He come in and save us all? He is patiently waiting for all of those who are going to call upon His name. He is waiting for you. So let me ask you this morning, why not respond to Him and say, I trust in Jesus Christ. That's where my faith is going to be. I trust Him. I don't understand all that. I don't know what tomorrow holds for me, but I trust Him today. And I'm going to hold on till I see Him face to face. What will you do this morning? I'm going to pray. Amanda's going to come and lead us in song. But this is not about us singing with her. This is not about, oh, Paul, I need you to do something for me. Could you pray for me? Let me tell you, I'll pray with you. But this is a time for you to do business with God. Maybe you need a church home. You need a place where you can come and worship God, where you can grow in your faith, where you have a group of people, a body of believers that you can say, you know what? Even when I struggle to hold on, I've got them with me. They're struggling to hold on too, but together we're holding on together. That's what we're doing. And maybe you need a church home. I want to invite you to come and say, you know what? This is where the Lord has led me. This is going to be my church home. But this is a chance for you to do business with God. What will you do this morning? I'm going to lead us in prayer. I'm going to ask you to stand after that. And then we're going to let God move. We're going to let God move you. My prayer is that you will be courageous and respond to the Lord. Let's pray.